When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, another episode of the Cosby Street Podcast. I am Josue Pavone alongside Sean Dutra, Joel Pavone, Boston Celtics, the hottest team in the NBA, and Jason Tatum is the best player in the NBA right now, all right? I said it. Who's playing better than Jason Tatum right now? That part you can say in any argument right now, because everyone is sort of like, wait a minute. Is Jason Tatum knocking on that top five best players in the NBA list right now? Well, depending who you talk to, I mean, some people may say that he is, right? Is he top 10? I don't know. Maybe. I think that was a big talking point last year or the last couple of years, but either way, we'll get into it. Kevin Garnett, weekend. KG, number five, going up into the Raptors this weekend. So we got to spend a lot of time on that. And just overall, the Celtics right now, surging, continue to surge. Another win against the Hornets. A big one against the Nets. Jason Tatum dropping 54. Man, he dropped 98 in his last two games combined. The Celtics 17-3 in their last 20 games. And they're in fifth place in the Eastern Conference and still going. And the Philadelphia 76ers, man. Wasn't this the big, bad, scary Philadelphia 76ers team? The one that just upgraded, got the cherry on top. James Harden, that's supposed to put them over the hump, make them a championship-bound team. I don't know how they're looking right now with this loss against the Brooklyn Nets, guys. We'll get into that. But let's talk about what Tatum's doing right now, fellas. How do we feel about Tatum in the sense of cracking that top five? I mean, that's been the talking point of late, but I'm more interested to see what he's going to do in this matchup against Luka Doncic. I'm more interested to see, of course, how this Celtics team is going to finish at the end. But man, I haven't seen Jason Tatum ever play like this before, man. This is truly unbelievable.
Yeah, man. First time in his career, you know, consecutive, you know, 40-point games. He's averaging over 40 right now in the month of March. Like, you asked the question, who's playing better than Jason Tatum right now? And that's not an easy answer. You know, maybe some people might say
it's not, right? A week ago, you could say Ja Morant, but after that matchup, I mean.
But even then, that was kind of a stretch. You know? That was kind of a stretch because, you know, Jason Tatum has been on a tear for like the last like 20 games. And you got Joel Embiid in that conversation, obviously. Jokic, who, you know, scores like 30 points in a quarter. All right. That's how it was. But, like, right now, you know, that's tough to say, like, who's playing complete basketball on both ends of the floor better than Jason Tatum.
Well, I think you just sort of summed it up though, bro. Like, there's no one playing better. And like last week he was the player of the week, so there was nobody playing better. I mean, but when you're talking about how he's been playing and now for an extended period of time, when you're looking at the season, if the Celtics keep streaking, then there's no reason for him not to be in the Jokic, Embiid, and Tatum conversation for MVP.
But is that fair though?
It is.
I mean, the surge has been over a month. So, I mean, yeah.
No, I think it is fair, Sway, because it's not like he was playing horrible before that. You know what I mean? Like, you look at going into the new year, his shooting was down percentage wise, but he was still getting his points and being a better facilitator, and now he's sort of taking that next step in the new year. And how many times have you seen the MVP been decided about what happens in the second half of the season versus the first half of the season? All the time. All the time you see that happen. So Will he actually win it?
No, I mean, no. I don't think anyone thinks he's going to win it. I don't.
I do.
Just to be a nominee, I think would be a heck of an accomplishment.
I think he's in the conversation because one, yeah, he's had the same numbers for the most part all season long, but the team wasn't winning. Now the team is winning, and that makes one hell of a difference, right? Because he's affecting not just scoring, but he's making his teammates better, and the team is surging. Like they're not just winning games here and there. No. It's not like
it's like what we talked about a couple weeks ago, Sean, about how the Celtics. I mean, the other MVP candidates could be putting together a heck of a season, but if your team is middling between the seventh and eighth seed, that's not going to do you any favors. But now the Celtics team top five in the East, maybe even better by the end of the season. All of a sudden, that changes things,
And I want to add, players in the first half of the season that were in that conversation have fizzled out because of injury.
Yeah,
like someone like Chris Paul, someone like Kevin Durant. Durant just came back, so. You can say whatever you want about Jason Tatum in terms of where is he at in terms of one of the top players in the league. But right now for that conversation as to, most valuable, he's got to be in there.
Well, I'll put it this way. The entire league was enamored with Ja Morant. Absolutely enamored, saying it's the best ticket in basketball. They come into Boston. He goes head to head with Jason Tatum. Yeah, did he score more points? Yes, but did he get stifled at the beginning of the game? And who won the game? And after that game, have you heard a peep about Ja Morant? You really haven't. No. It all sort of stopped, right?
That's why I talked about the Luka matchup because I mean, not to say that he's gonna quiet Luka after if he were to win, that all of a sudden Luka's gonna be not talked about anymore. But again, I think that just like you said. In that matchup against Ja Morant, sure, Ja Morant scored more points, but I think the narrative overall has been, okay, wow, Tatum is continuing to meet people at these matchups and go toe-to-toe with these guys, right? Luka's another one. And you could put him in that same space of two guys that are around the same age as Tatum, but people have, head and shoulders above Tatum. Maybe not head and shoulders, but most people have both those guys well above Tatum. And I think Tatum takes that. There's something to say about that. I think Tatum wants to prove himself, obviously as an individual, but clearly as also a leader who's making a significant stride that's bringing his team with him. I think it's been huge, honestly, ever since the All-Star break. Well, even before the All-Star break, but again, I just think the All-Star break was just something that it was beneficial for him to go into the second half of the season and just go into cruise control.
I mean, to be honest, Tatum's ascension into the top five of the NBA was stunted by Kyrie and Gordon Hayward in those years that he was supposed to be a role player, and then they came back and he was but Luka and Ja, that was their team from the start. Like from the get go, that was their team. They were gonna be the guy. They were gonna be, the who makes or breaks it. And who knows if Tatum was that
franchise from the players. Yeah.
If Tatum was that from the beginning, who knows what type of hype he would be having by the time he's 24.
But it's almost better this way though,
Oh, it's way better.
Yeah, of course.
Better, more sustainable this way. Yeah. 100%.
But because he got those deep playoff runs where these guys didn't, or they haven't yet, In the long run, what's most beneficial going into this postseason?
Which is why everyone wants to look back on that 2018-2019 playoff run where you had Jaylen, Tatum, and Rozier and Al Horford being the big players on that team.
Oh, no, you're talking about 2018. 2019 is when they failed against the Bucks.
Oh, I'm talking about 2018 when everyone got injured. Tatum's rookie year and he brought you guys to the Eastern Conference Finals. Imagine if they had an okay team and it was just Tatum's team all year and he had never had anyone to I think you'd be looking at a different type of alpha mentality from Tatum, but now he's sort of adopted it.
For Tatum to outshine, Trae Young, Morant, Durant, and Kyrie, come on, man.
It's getting a little ridiculous.
It's getting a little, Any analyst or talking head still not wanting to, give Tatum his due, well, then you just got something personal against the dude or the Celtics in general.
Well,
Charles Barkley.
if you put it this way.
What Chuck say?
Nah, Chuck never gives fucking. He never gives the Celtics any credit. He just thinks that like the other team played bad.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember, guys. This team is just playing horrible tonight.
It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So the Celtics defense had nothing to do with that, Chuck?
No, no. Cool. They don't have the number one defense in the league, though, right? But okay, that's all right. All right. Yeah.
No, I think that whole TNT crew, as much as I love them, just because of their like, you know,
yeah, they're an entertainment factor. Yeah, I get it.
Knowledge on. You know, semi-knowledge on basketball, but like not like knowledge on like the game today, what they can bring from like the past.
No, they do, but they choose to like have like their favorites, players, teams.
Yeah, they have to pick a team, and then it's like if your team isn't picked by that guy at the beginning of the season, then it's not going to be talked about or whatever.
Plus, let's face it, Chuck's not sitting around on a random Tuesday watching Celtics games. Like he's just not, yeah. You know?
But like the Celtics have been enough, they've been on TNT enough times for him to stop saying what he's been saying.
And you know he was watching on
Saturday, though? I don't know.
He was. I mean,
they put him on a Tuesday night a lot, though. They didn't put him on a Tuesday night game a lot. And they're not watching that shit. I'm not trying to give him excuses here. Because
Shaq is
a fucking analyst. But
Shaq is on the Tuesday night games, and Shaq doesn't correct Chuck when it comes to the Celtics.
Because you know Shaq's who's been watching the Celtics? We talked about this last week, but Stan Van Gundy. Like, man, he knows
he's talking.
When he starts breaking down, like, you know, what Grant Williams has been this year. I'm like, okay, this guy watches the games when they're not on national
TV. Talk about Robin Williams. Like, he's talking about, like, guys that don't get talked about like that on national TV. Yeah, you're right.
Right. Shaq didn't even know who Robin Williams is.
Yo, that's great.
He's been an asshole.
Embarrassing, bro.
That's a great segue, though. Like, the Stan Van Gundy, like, in our view, like, of this team, like, it is all about Tatum has been playing out of his mind for the past month, and he's been the best player in NBA for the month. But like,
and he pointed out as if he was like a Boston guy, man. Like he'd been watching his team all year long.
You're right. Without the Grant Williams factor, without the Robert Williams factor, no, you know what? It's not even a Robert Williams factor. The Robert Williams being on the floor factor.
For real, yeah. You're right. You're right. He's swatting balls left and right. He's just intimidating. His presence alone, too.
He's not playing better than he's ever has been. He's just playing every single night, which is outstanding.
Yeah. Well, you're getting extended, right? You're getting extended, Rob, whereas last year it was like a 13-14, you know, roof on his, a minute roof, 13-14 minute roof on him, and we're seeing twice as much now, you know? Brad was weird with Robert last year. Like, I don't think we talked about that.
I think Brad using Rob versus Ime using Rob is totally different, like totally different, bro. Because even from the get-go, from the first time he was late, Brad was just probably like, no, this guy ain't going to be a part of my rotation.
Yeah, I don't think that.
He never gave him a chance to. And then, no.
Did you forget when he got drafted that there was the Al Horford was still here? Al Horford, I think that was like his second season. And
I think he was motivated for that too. I think he went into the season with a different mindset.
And you had Baynes, like he was like clearly like third on the list of centers there at least.
And I understand, but I'm saying
he was third
when he was late, and then from when he did give him a shot. Brad is such a practice system guy, and Rob took so long to understand the system of like defense and not going up for the block shot and doing all that, like.
Yeah, he was stack of five.
He basically was like, you're a talent, but I can't play you.
Nah, the biggest factor has been his confidence.
He was way too raw for Brad.
The biggest thing has been his confidence. Like, Ime has given him confidence. So
thank you.
At the same token, like, you know, you'll get at least 2 to 3 putback dunks or, you know, or alley-oops from him that you might have not seen as often in the last few years of his career. But now his confidence is through the roof.
His confidence is through the roof because his coach has confidence in him.
And they give him an extension. So they're like, they believe in me for the next few years here. So,
you know, Brad was like, you know what? I don't have to coach you, so I'll give you that extension. You know what I mean?
No, he knew this is the year that he was going to make a significant stride. Whether it's what we're seeing now or not, he was just like, either way, you're going to be way too expensive for me in a year. So he gave him that extension. He's smart, though. He saw that before anybody else, in my opinion. Or at least he could see it. He had the front row view for it.
What a complete turnaround with Sean from like Stevens down to Ime.
How many times have we watched?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Years though, Sway and Joel, like, and we were like, "Where is Rob Williams?"
Yeah, because he was like, it was a combination of him being injured over like the smallest of things that would like
prolong.
Yeah, and it was like it would like prolong. And
you know what, Joel? That's a good point because I feel like Ime sort of took a shot at Rob earlier.
Yeah,
you remember when he was talking about guys saying like, you know, particular injuries and saying how like, hey, listen, you know, we're at a point now where, you know, things that are nagging here and there, you know, you're gonna have to make a decision. You know, what's at the end of the day, how much is that going to affect your play? You know, what's the? I feel like he was talking to Rob. Remember, Rob missed like two games when he was just like, oh, was it undisclosed reason or whatever. And granted, it was after his kid was born, but this was like probably like a month after. And people were just like, maybe this isn't kid related. Like, what's going on here? And people were worried that it was actually like a physical injury.
But yeah, well, why I think was it was like.
Why would Celtics hide it like that? And then that's when Ime said what he said.
Yeah, it was like he had like a triple-double, his first one ever, and then he was not available the next game for personal reasons. And it's like,
personal reasons. That's what it was.
It's
personal
like, wait, what the hell? And then like, you know, and then not too long after that, we found out about the birth of his kid. But I just think, I think the Al Horford factor too, that plays a part here in the development of Robert Williams, because how many times did Robert Williams in the last couple of years talk about how Horford was instrumental in him coming to practice early or coming in way before, you know, anybody was in the gym to put up shots, to be in the weight room. And so when Al comes back, and Al was just like, yo, you're this close away from like, you know, doing the damn thing and being like, you know, the center of the future here. You just need a little push and I'm here to fucking give that to you. And that's exactly what's been going on.
Well, I think too, like the way Ime, like, doesn't care if you get knocked down and you're on the floor for a little bit. Like, there's been three or four times this year where I've been watching the game and Rob gets, like, falls awkwardly. And, like, the game just goes on. And, you know, it's like, and I'm like, wait, are they going to call a timeout? Are they going to foul? Are they going to do something? And he sort of, and then you sort of watch Rob, like, get back into the game and, like, play well. But like, before, I think, like, Brad was like, oh, take a foul. Like, let's get him out the game and let's sit him down. And it sort of goes to that, like, weak mentality. I think that Ime is able to get the best out of Rob, and I think you're right, Joel. Like, the Al Horford factor has happened, and it's a great thing for him too. And I think you're exactly right, because Al took a couple days when his kid was born, same with Rob, and so that's probably
I think you're being facetious. That's what I think. But anyways, yeah, man, Celtics have been on a tear. I can't wait for this matchup for you know, between them and the Mavericks. I really do think there's something to that with Tatum in particular. I think Tatum wants to continue to send a message, and his eyes light up when he sees, you know, top five, top ten talent on the other end. So it's gonna be quite a matchup. But it's only the opening act of the day, right? Because after that, we get to see KG, Kevin Garnett, back in Boston in the building, which I'm sure is going to be packed with a bunch of other Celtics legends as we honor my favorite power forward of all time. If I'm being honest, man, I can't wait. It's one of those things where it's like, when's going to be the next time we see someone's number retire? Some people may say it could be Ray, maybe not, but if that doesn't happen, I mean, this could be it. This could be the last one to cement that era, you know, of big three basketball that obviously meant a whole lot to the three of us who weren't old enough to see Larry Bird and them do their thing in the 80s. So this is going to be a very special moment. And fellas, I can't wait. But Sean, I think you got something you wanted to announce. You mentioned earlier today about the ceremony.
Yeah, man, it's going to be crazy. So like, I was out the other day, and I ran into some guy, and he was like, yo, I'm Kevin Garnett's agent. He was like, do you want to announce Kevin Garnett's number retirement in front of the whole world? Do you want to do it, Sean? And I was kidding.
First of all, how do you know your name? I have so many questions.
Yeah, I wish you could see Joel's face. You look so confused. You're like... Like, Sean can't even keep a straight face.
He's like, first off, I'm Kevin Garnett's agent. Like, just randomly stopping Sean. Like, oh, I think this dude is definitely a Celtics fan. By the way,
why would he stop you? Why wouldn't he stop?
I was like, you know,
he said, "Sean, would you
I was cutting my lawn, and this guy randomly comes up to me like, hey,
hey, you're Sean Dugan from the Cause and She podcast, right?
Right, that's you, right?
Do you want to announce Kevin Garnett's number of time in front of the whole world?"
I would have believed you if it was like I don't know, like big babies like agent or some shit like that.
Yeah, Big Baby's been here all week for this shit. He can't wait. He's definitely gonna be in the building.
that because he's got a fucking comedy tour that like
it's, yeah we gotta
talk about that later. But no man, yo,
oh shit,
it's gonna be an epic night. And I love the fact that the games are in the day. You know, you get your day drinking in, do your thing. And then KG ceremony is supposed to be at 6 o'clock on Sunday. And we got tickets, bro. We got tickets for you, bro. We're sending you over there. You're gonna be in the house. You're gonna be in the building.
I was gonna be in the building, bro.
Yeah, man.
Me?
Yeah. So Cosby Street's gonna be in there.
Ah, shit.
Oh, you going?
Breaking fucking news. Hell yeah.
Your fucking birthday's the next day, bro.
In case you missed it, I'm going because I ain't gonna miss it.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, Drew knew. What an asshole. You fucking knew. What an asshole. No, fuck you. You fucking knew.
I told him when I was blacked out, bro.
You definitely told him Sunday. I knew it. Yo, can we talk about that before we look ahead? Can we talk about you two after the Celtics game on freaking day drinking? Or is this after hour material? Maybe we have to cut this up.
No, I mean, we didn't do anything we weren't supposed to do. We just were day drinking all fucking day, bro.
He definitely wasn't
sing along at Causeway Street Bar.
He definitely wasn't blacked out. He wasn't blacked out when he kind of spilled the beans on that. We were still at the game.
Fucking filter.
Yo, by the way, yo, KG, yo, you're gonna be there, bro. The second quarter, probably.
All I'll say is this. I got invited last minute to this game.
I probably spilled the beer. I was just like, dude, you definitely go. No way. You spent 9 hours with him.
Nine hours with him drinking, bro? I definitely told him every dark secret I've ever had.
You told him by hours three, at least.
Yeah.
If it wasn't him, our father definitely, you know, broke that too. So.
Yo, you can't tell that shit. No, I swear, bro. That was just fucking... Dude, remember when I was like 11 and he was like, hey, I'll never forget it. hey, before you go to sleep, we're having people at the house next weekend for your birthday. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. Long story short, the next day I'm like, hey, mom, you mind if I invite, you know, Nick and all my friends? He's like, invite for what? It's like, next weekend. She was like, what are you talking about? I was like, dad told me. She was just like, it's supposed to be a fucking surprise. I was like, really? He's like, yeah. Later in the day, Dad was like, "Yo, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was gonna be a surprise." I was like, "Why did you tell me that?"
And then he always pulls that. Nah, he knew. He knew. He definitely knew.
He knew anyway.
He knew what's gonna happen. Like, come on.
No,
he's turning 11 for God's sakes.
His birthday's on a Saturday. Come on. He knows.
It's a long weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend for God's sakes.
Yeah, mom didn't talk to him for like 2 days. It was weird.
Oh shit!
You know, mom, she loves surprises. She's like, "What the fuck is your problem?"
Nah, bro, you go. Evan's going with you, bro. You know that, right?
No, now I do. Apparently,
yeah,
because of what happened, Sean had to change his plans.
Yeah, I can't go. But
he's gonna be in dirty jersey.
But yeah, man, fucking enjoy, dog. Happy birthday, motherfucker!
And thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thanks for the last minute invite last weekend too. That was a. That was quite the Sunday.
I had to make it up to Joel because Joel thought he was going to New Year's Eve game when Tim had the tickets. Remember Tim had the tickets, bro? And then he didn't have the tickets, and then I had to bring Tim because it was a Suns game, bro.
When I brought it up, you were just like, ah, shit, I didn't tell you, bro. And I was like, yeah, I fucking figured it was going to be Tim going to that. It's a Phoenix Suns game.
Yeah. I didn't tell you, bro. I texted Tim. I was like, yo, bro, I think it's the same game as you. And he immediately called me. He was like, hey, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Tim really wants to talk to you. Right? He would just call right away.
My mom doesn't really want me going to the game. And she took away the tickets. But get an extra ticket, bro? And I was like,
got to sit. You got to sit behind Nia Long and shit. Damn.
Yo, his mom is mad. The Tunises were messing around with the COVID shit.
No, the Tunises, and he freaked the fuck out because when we first sat down in the seats, he was like, yo, these seats are dope. These seats are. Oh, fuck. My mom's calling me right now. Where the fuck's my mom? No, he's spazzed the fuck out.
She's going to hear the freaking soundtrack of TD Garden in the background. I'll be like, where the fuck are you right now?
I'm spazzed out. She's like, I know all the different game songs.
She's like, I've seen you on TV like 5 times, Dan. Pick up the fucking phone.
I go, Tim, you should just call her back. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
He just went back. Like, he just went back 20 years in his head, like, Jesus.
So I went to him. I go, Tim, you're
going to be careful.
Tim, you're 30. You're 33 years old. You can just tell your mom where you are. Like, it's not like. You're not going to get grounded, bro. Like, you have a child in your own family.
10 minutes later, I should just come in and just escort you guys out. Special order from a special season ticket holder.
Excuse me, are you Tim Tunis? Yeah, you have to come with us.
Tim wouldn't even respond. So I'd be like, yeah, that's Tim Tunis. Why?
I know, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's him.
What the fuck did you say?
What you need?
Yeah, why? What's up?
Are you a Timothy King Tunis? Is this who you are? Can I see some ID, please?
Oh, yeah, shit. Hey, no, so I'll be like, oh, shit, Timmy, this dude knows you.
This episode of the Cosmic Street Podcast is powered by BetOnline.ag. Basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. And even right to the Olympic coverage is the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right, let's not even talk about it. Let's just let's just look ahead. All right, Sean.
Ahead and
this segment is always about looking ahead. We don't look back; we look ahead, right?
Yeah, we're looking ahead. We're looking ahead.
Even though Sean really likes to brag when he's right.
Yeah, man, I am going to be right about Jason Tatum winning the EP if the Celtics can get the number one or number two seeds. I think that's going to happen. But anyways, looking ahead to Sunday, you would think that when the Mavericks come to town, it's about Luka, Luka, Luka. But it ain't. It's about Tatum and KG because they will be the two best players in the arena. But KG again is number retired in the last spot that is open in the current banners.
Oh, man.
Which I think means a lot. But that's a huge accomplishment for KG.
Huge.
Happens before he ever gets his number retired in Minnesota, which is probably a whole nother podcast.
No, there's I've never seen anyone like Kevin Garnett. There'll never be another Kevin Garnett.
Yo, and the banners right now they're hanging up an encore before he officially gets his number retired. So that's dope. The casino.
Yeah, man, they're gonna be there all weekend. I can't wait. People are gonna start flying in. James Posey says he's flying in Friday. Eddie Howe's gonna be. I don't know if he's flying in Friday, but he'll be there too.
Yeah, he's gonna be on the broadcast on the local when they play Detroit.
Friday's going to be great for Pops and Joel because they're going to be honoring just Southern legends in general. There's going to be a lot of Southern legends just honoring, 75 years, and there's supposed to be other Southern legends in the building as well. They're going to have a special ceremony, so it's going to be a special night. It's going to be like a little prequel to Sunday.
Word.
Tune in on Friday, guys. Tune in on Friday. So I think we all thought like Kevin Garnett would obviously get his number retired, right? But that fills the banner. The best Celtics of all time. And it's going to take a long time until I think another banner is put up. And I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it. I'm happy that Kevin Garnett's getting the last spot. I mean, he obviously was the number one reason why the Celtics won their last championship. And, you know, I think he'll be the most grateful. Like, him and Paul Pierce, probably, you know, the most grateful, you know, and obviously worthy members in the past 25 years, man, 30 years, right? So it's like all of the Celtics, like the Celtics had a extremely, you know, fruitful 80s and 60s and 50s, and even you can count the 70s in there, but 90s and 2000s and even 2010s, like there's only two that's going up there for them. That whole 30-year period, there's only two. And I think it's absolutely perfect that it's Pierce and KG.
Yeah, and you know what else? I saw before we started recording this podcast, according to Gary Washburn from the Globe, Ray Allen has been invited officially, and he'll be in the building on Sunday.
I don't care. I don't care.
Well,
I mean, I don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't for you. It was for the people who listen to us.
No. Okay. Fine. Sure. I think that's a attempted checkers move from Ray Allen for like
No. You know what it is? It's because KG recently talked about this on his Showtime show, where he said that he was talking to Perk and they've been having a conversation, and they, you know, talked about the picture that had gone viral of the big three, first time in a while being, you know, taking a picture. And he said that they just picked up where they left off. They had a conversation and it wasn't forced. It was, you know, organic. So Celtics took advantage and said, hey, invite this dude. So it doesn't look like the Celtics are kind of like, you know, forcing it.
Sure. Yeah. And you know what? Today is not the day to talk about the big three drama and what happened, the fallout afterwards. But I think that's honestly like could have been done from Ray Allen's point of view a while ago. It just probably wasn't. Now he feels like he's the odd man out of the one not getting his number retired. But, you know, who knows? Who knows what'll happen? I'm really stoked for Kevin Garnett because, I don't know, man. I mean, in my opinion, that Kevin Garnett addition to, you know, forget Ray Allen being here, just Paul Pierce being here and that squad and that team, like, that was the missing link for years, man. We didn't have that kind of guy. And bought in, mixed with Perk in the middle and Doc as the coach. It just was absolutely a thing of beauty, man. And it won't be replicated for a very long time.
And it's dope that you're around the city. You see, like, you know, billboards and advertisements for this game. And, like, you know, just, like, getting the city excited for, you know, not only another jersey being retired, but, like, you know, for one of the best 75 players of all time, you know, that was here and brought the last championship to Boston. So I think that's dope.
Back when it happened, how elated, on a scale of 1 to 10, Joel, how elated were you when KG signed in Boston? What'd you do?
Yo, I just remember I was listening to it. I found out on the radio. I just had gotten out of work and I turned on the car and I had I had a EEI on, and as soon as I turned the car on, that was like the first thing that they were talking about. Oh, KG has, you know, been traded to Boston, and he's assigned as an extension, and I just lost my shit. Like, I was sitting there like, I was shocked for a good like 30 seconds. I didn't say anything, and I just fucking yelled out the biggest, like, fuck yeah, like, you know, that type of thing, because like, you know, social media, or at least, you know, it wasn't as big as it is now. So it wasn't like sources are saying this is going to happen. The last thing I remember before that official like announcement came was that he wasn't interested in coming to Boston. He was interested in going to Phoenix or the Lakers or another team out west. And I just never thought that was going to happen. I never dreamed that was like a possibility. I was just like, that's a pipe dream. You know, let's see what the Celtics do just with Ray and Paul. And if they're going to add somebody, then, you know, I never thought it would be a former MVP. Like, that's just never. I never dawned on me that would happen. And then when it did happen, you know, it was just, you just couldn't wait for the season to get underway. I just didn't care who else they signed or they.
Seriously.
Because it's like you found out about the trade and it was legit like half the squad got traded. So it's like, all right, how are they going to fill out the rest of this roster? And let's get this shit going because I just was just like, this is gonna be an interesting year. This is gonna be an ill year. Did I think they're gonna win it in the first year? No, I didn't. But I thought they'd be in the mix.
See, I thought they were gonna win in the first year when they got KG because that was all. I couldn't believe that, like, legitimately, the narrative in Boston, and you listen to what was around back then, the Big Show, 1510, the Sports Zone, and Fox Sports Boston, whatever the hell was broadcast on TV. The biggest thing was, oh well, do you really give Al Jefferson up for this?
Yeah, because he was 31, I believe, when he got traded here, Garnett. So it was like, oh, he's on the back end of his career. You know, he was an MVP, you know, 3-4 years ago. You know, how much gas he's got in the tank, type of thing. At that time, that was always the issue with all athletes here in Boston. Once they hit 30, it was always like, oh my God, like, you know, they only have, you know, so much time left. But KG made the Celtics title contenders every single year he was here. Even when everyone thought they were old, even when everyone thought that, like, you know, they're not going to make it back to the, you know, deep into the playoffs or even back to the finals, he changed the culture here, you know, for the better. And a whole new generation of Celtics fans can honestly say that they grew up, you know, watching that team and how it was put together. For the older fans, for like us and the generation before us and so on and so forth, it's like you waited so long for the Celtics to finally get over that hump and win a championship. You know, we had seen the Patriots, we had saw the Red Sox, and it was like, and at least for me, I was just like, when are the Celtics going to do this? Like, when are they going to hop on the, you know, the duck boat and go around Boston, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, I had them slated in for, you know, a 2027 championship before KG came there. But you never know. I mean, that was a thing of beauty. He was absolutely changed what
they legit ended like Detroit's like run. Like Detroit was like what, 6-7 straight Eastern Conference Finals, 2, you know, finals appearances, and I just at that first year before, you know, the season started, I just thought it was gonna be between Detroit and the Celtics. And but the way the Celtics came out that first month, that first, you know, 2 months, two and a half months of just dominant, like, you know, defense, and the, you know, the big three was usually not playing in the fourth quarter because there were blowouts, and it was just like, yo, this is a completely different Celtics team than what we've ever been used to, at least for like our generation, you know, watching, you know, for the last like 10 plus years at that point.
Yeah, man. And I mean,
the biggest turnaround I've ever seen.
No, they were the worst team in the league to winning a championship the next season.
Yeah, but not just that, though. It's like, you know, you went from how many wins? 19 wins to 66 wins. Like, they could have pulled off, you know, being the first team, obviously before the Warriors did it, to win 70 some odd games.
Well, I think they would have in 2009 if KG didn't get injured. I think they would have.
Yeah, they started even better off. Yeah, you're right. That second season. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. But hey, all in all, this was, you know, I think it changed a lot of things. I think it changed Celtics history, obviously. It obviously changed Boston sports history. And, you know, for Danny to be able to pull off that trade, like, still one of the best moves, like, in all of sports history of making that trade. Oh, just an absolute beauty of a move. I mean, all in all, I'm actually absolutely stoked for his number to get into the rafters.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone in Boston, like, even for a second thought, well, you know, they'll be competitive, but I don't know if they're going to win a championship. I think it was just a matter of when. And I'll be honest, from the very beginning, I always said, maybe not the first year, but the next year after that, when they get acclimated to everything, you know, they'll do it then. But no, I mean, you talk to Doc, you talk to Pierce, you talk to KG, and they'll tell you the same. From the very first day, Doc said, this is about winning championship. From the very first day when he brought him onto the duck boat, I mean, KG already had that energy, but I felt like the culture, the city, and Doc and everything just like amplified it times 10, and all that came pouring out to the court. Every game was about that same mission. It didn't matter. You know, the first 1 through 82, every game was, I'm here to, I'm not going to just beat you. I'm going to destroy you. And that was KG, you know. And obviously, at that point in his career, it was like, this is the 5-year, 6-year, whatever people thought it was. This is the window to do it. This is your best opportunity to do it. And man, the only thing I can't, the only thing I wish I could change about it is that it didn't happen sooner. Like, just 2 years sooner, we got 2 or 3 championships. No question. No question. Like, that's all that we needed for that. I mean, that's all that they needed, you know, to have a, you know, a 2 to 3, two or multiple championships, so to speak, you know, what Larry Bird and them did, you know, in the '80s. But KG came in here and it was just a match made in heaven. We all know what Boston means in sports and the passionate and, you know, hardworking guys. And it was just a match made in heaven. And I honestly think that that's why at the end of the day that KG, not only because of the championship will always be revered here in the city, but for the heart and soul, he's unforgettable. He's one of the greatest power forwards to ever wear that uniform. One of the greatest players to ever wear that uniform, man. And I can't wait to see everyone in that house just give him that standing ovation that he deserves as we see that number 5 go up into the and join the fraternity of greatest Celtics players of all time, man. It's gonna be unbelievable.
The fact that the Celtics, you know, they gave it a few years. They're like, all right, you know, obviously let's wait for you know, Minnesota to do what they're supposed to do. And when that didn't happen, it's like, yo, Celtics are like, this is well overdue over here. We don't know about over there, but this is gonna happen over here, whether they're gonna do it or not. And it was just all up. It was all up to KG to accept that, because, you know, KG, that first press conference when it's announced that the trade happened and he signed his extension, when the majority of those covering his team said that they have a 3-year window, you know, he doubled it, pushed it to 6. But from that first press conference when he's like, you know, excited to be here, he's all like, he's low toned, and you knew as an NBA fan that, yeah, he was pretty intense. But I didn't realize he was that intense until you saw it night in and night out here.
You had no idea.
You had no fucking idea and how it rubbed off on everybody.
And when you went to the game, it was like watching. Now you guys got me going. When you went to the game, it was like watching like your favorite, like, I don't know. What would you say, Joel? Like almost like your favorite, like not even like a Broadway like play or whatever. It was like your favorite like battle or something. I don't even know how to describe it, but being there live and seeing it was a whole other thing. It was like you're part of it. Yeah. You're part of it. He would make eye contact with you in the crowd. He would point at everybody. You bang his chest and everything. Man, I used to love sitting right behind the hoop. It's like the cheapest pair of tickets for load seats that you could find. You know, the biggest bang for your buck, I should say, right? And I loved being there because it was like any, you know, bad call, any out of bounds, any 50-50 play, he's looking at the crowd like, you guys see this shit? Like,
I know, right? You guys believe this shit?
Yeah, right. What the fuck? But then at the same time, you know, before the game, yo, you ready? You guys ready? Get up. Yo, you ready, right? Yo, I'm going to need y'all tonight. You know, like,
it was, man, like,
never seen any player like it. I don't think we'll ever see any player like it.
It was a performance. Like,
it was a performance, and it was like, yo, I'm going to need you to do your part as well. Yeah. And it was like, I got you. And, like, I'm not just saying that as like me, you know, this is everyone. It was like you were glued to it and you were part of the game. And he made you part of that. He held you accountable for it.
Exactly.
And it was like the greatest experience because, you know, it was like, this guy is out there putting his heart and soul into this. And I'm going to do the same because that's how passionate I am as well. You know, so it's nothing like Kevin Garnett.
It wasn't a mistake that when you needed the crowd to get hyped, that they would play a video of KG making you get hyped. Like, he would make sure that you got hyped. And I don't see that too often now with the Celtics players of today, where they're like, you know, they're appreciative, obviously, of the fans and how, like, you know, this is, they always say there's no place like Boston to play in front of when it comes to, you know, any arena. But KG, like, in when he'd be like, and the presser, and he'd be like, yo, I'm going to need the Garden to be like rocking, you know, come playoff time or whatever, game one or whatever. Like, because we're all in this together. That was his, right. Like, we're fighting together. I don't know. I can't even explain this. It's just crazy.
Well, I mean, I think that's why. To be honest, you go back to those 2008 years, 2009, 2010 years, there was more number fives in the arena than there were number 34s. It's just because he embraced a whole new, generation of self. Like, there was the people that have been there forever that were like, Paul Pierce is our guy. You know what I mean? But yeah. How many number fives did you see when he came along? Like, he embraced Boston. Boston embraced him back. And those type of relationships don't happen too often when people come here in free agency or in a trade. They just don't, you know, if you come from Minnesota to Boston and you don't have that kind of edge that KG has, it doesn't normally work out for you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he won, you know, Defensive Player of the Year, he just came in the middle of, like, the Ben Wallaces and the Ron Artest of the world and the Dwight Howards and just said, nope, you know, my first year in Boston, you know, we're the number one defensive team in the league. Boom, like, I'm winning this shit. And that's, like, just in a nutshell how, you know, the culture, and it all stemmed from him. Like, he was the anchor, and he took the ball and he ran with it.
All right, who we got next, man?
The Warriors.
Another big test, man. Like, look, after KG night, it's back on the road for the Celtics, you know?
Yeah.
So that's going to be a great test for this team right now. Like, typically this happens, like, right after the All-Star break. I love that it happens now. Obviously, because of the stride the Suns are on right now, but also because you got some top notch talent to get you to you know, keep you going or to put things into focus, so to speak, as we wind out, you know, as we wind into the second half of March. It's good. It's good for this team.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics go on a West Coast trip, but I mean, the the game happens on Sunday. They don't play again until Wednesday, and then the Warriors have been playing like dog doo doo lately, bro. Blowing big, they're playing like the
same. And what do Celtics do with teams like that? They beat them by 25. Yeah. Let's go. And I don't care, man. Klay's out there. Steph's out there. Draymond's still hurt, but I don't care, man. No, no more reason for them to get that win.
I mean, the Warriors are a good team that are playing really bad right now. And they sort of remind me of the way that
the Celtics... They wasn't going to play in tournament right now.
Well, they're playing like the Celtics were playing at the beginning of the year, like... Playing well and blowing big leads in the fourth, and that becomes contagious. And then not being able to play any defense whatsoever, and not being able to hit three or shoot well, and making stupid fouls. Like it is, it just is what it is, man. Like, they're playing bad basketball right now, and when that starts to infect the roster, like, it's contagious. So, yeah. I mean, let's see what happens. Maybe they get up for that game, but.
Yeah, you know. Draymond announced that he'll be back like the game before they play the Celtics, so should be interesting.
Yeah, I would love it. I would love that to be a litmus test game, but I just don't know yet if it is going to be if Belitska is going to play 40 minutes that night. You never know. You know?
All right, what do you got after that?
After that, we go see Kyle Draper, our friend of the podcast.
Oh, Sacktown, huh?
We go to Sacktown, where Kyle Draper may still be living in that unfurnished apartment that we FaceTime.
I remember that thing. I would think he's still living in it, but it's probably furnished by now, I would think.
My guess is that it's furnished, yes. But yeah. Will Draper be invited back for the KG game?
No. But you know what? We should definitely touch base with him soon, though. Because yeah. I want to know how he feels about the Sabonis thing. I know it's a little... outdated at this point, but I like it. I still like the trade for them. I don't know. Yeah. He was very conflicted about it after. Yeah, I remember that.
Drape should be really excited after you know, hearing Sean talk about his apartment. But yeah, let's get him on.
Listen, it was a nice apartment, very spacious. There was no furniture in it.
See what he says.
Yeah, I'm, you know, Kyle, me and Kyle, we get along on the podcast. Just, you know,
getting older.
I never liked Philly. He secretly likes Philly, and then...
Well, he is from there.
Yeah.
And he likes to, you know, give you shit for those green glasses you always wear, you know?
Yeah. Last time we talked, I wanted Buddy Hield, and he said the Kings are never trading Buddy Hield, and obviously he was wrong, because he got added...
He didn't say they never trade Buddy Hield.
He got added into a bag.
He said fucking... What's his name?
Harrison. What a classic way for Sean to tell a story.
Yeah.
And he said that Buddy Hill is the future for the franchise. And
They would never trade Buddy Hill. That's what he said.
He said they wouldn't trade the other dude.
Halliburton, yeah, and they traded him.
Harrison, what the fuck?
Stop blaming him.
No. Drapes was wrong, and that's fine. We can pull the tape, and it's okay.
You don't even know what's on that tape. You're just trying to put your bet down.
You just named like three players that he never talked about.
No, he talked about he laughed.
No, he did not. He talked about fucking Harrison. Barnes. Thank you. Shit, I couldn't remember his fucking last name.
No.
Don't talk about Harrison that way.
I know, right? I was like, is that his last name? But no, that's not his last
name. No, he was talking about Harry.
No, he talked about Harrison Barnes because
he was saying that the Kings would never trade him, and they didn't.
No. He talked about Harrison Barnes only because
he got down his head.
Only because that was the only player he entertained, like possibly being traded. Because before I said Buddy Hield, and he was like, absolutely not. They're never going to trade Buddy Hield.
I'll check the tape. And we'll see.
And then we went to Harrison.
You know, this takes like 5 minutes, right? Sean?
I'll do a little flashback right after this little segment here.
All right, perfect. And if you cut it the wrong way to make Draper look good, I'm going to fucking kill you.
How about if you're wrong, you have to give up gambling for 2 months?
No, man. March Madness, baby.
Sean said,
absolutely not.
I got a lot right in March, kid.
He said, I got the... he said, I just got the refund check, you know?
how you think I'm playing for Disney, bro? Come on.
Let's put the refund check on the table, man. I got plenty to win right now.
Worst comes to worst, you know, I got the house up as collateral.
Jeez. It's all fun and games until we have a fucking intervention. Anyways, all right, it's about that time. Let's wrap the show up the way we wrap up every single episode here on Causeway Street. We'll take our trip around the NBA with Joel's In Case You Missed It.
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 Joel, what we missed?
All right, a grievance from Ben Simmons and his representation is expected to be filed soon. According to the Philly Voice, the reason Simmons was present at the, you know, the blowout of the Nets Sixers game, even though he wasn't going to play, is because it was the hope that with the reception that he encountered on Thursday, which was harsh, let's just say it lightly, right? It was harsh.
Should we video?
Would serve as a potential piece for Simmons' case to recoup money that he lost in fines this season. So basically, he believes that the Philly fans' brutal treatment, you know, that several times that we heard, fuck Ben Simmons.
So what is this?
You can hear it clearly, for his lawyers
to take notes of this?
Yeah. So like the booze and the chants, you know, would help the grievance case against the Sixers, essentially.
This is what my client had to go through.
Exactly.
Jesus.
But you do know that the fact that he stood up and waved when they said that makes that null and void. Like, that makes it seem like he was taunting the crowd.
They can cut up the footage the way they want to cut up the footage.
No, because then the defense can just cut up the footage the way they want to cut up the footage and be like, look at all of the games that he sat out while he was on the team, and look at how Boston treated Kyrie because he left, and now look at how Philly treated Ben Simmons.
By the way, real quick.
I'm
glad you bring that up. Yo, why is it, you know, the national media is so quick to be like, oh my God, like, why is Boston, you know, treating Kyrie this way? And but then they don't say nothing about Philly. Like, oh, that's okay. You know, we can clearly hear on the broadcast, fuck Ben Simmons, but you know, it's all right. We're not gonna talk about it. It's like,
where the fuck have you been? Like, where you don't know how Boston fans reacted. Do you not remember the last time he was in Boston? Like, I don't know, man. Like, listen,
come on.
I'm on the same team as like Kyrie likes to say, keep it basketball. That's basketball to me, okay? A crowd of people chanting, you suck. I'm okay with that. I think it's all right. I don't know. Maybe I'm old head. Maybe we're all too insensitive now. Yeah, maybe we're just washed. We're all just washed up OGs.
Like the NBA purposely was like, you know, KG is not going to be in the same building when Kyrie gets there. So just pick another game. Right. Pick another day.
Like, we would never.
If the Philly fans started, like,
you know, going against Australian national legends like Steve Irwin or, I don't know, Kangaroo Jack, then maybe they got a problem. But, like, if Philly changed their mascot to be the Stingray, right? Just when Ben Simmons like, the Australian heritage, then I would understand him having, like, a point and being like, well, they're hating on me because I'm Australian and, you know, Steve Irwin's a national fucking legend. But, you know, they're just saying...
No, they're hating on him because he fucking quit on the team. The same way that, you know... Like other players have done in the past, this is nothing fucking new here.
So I was like, no, man. If it was racial, then okay, you got
to. Yeah, but no, because they did it
in basketball.
No, because they.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm talking about if Philly
No, it's not about racial. Shut up. No, we're not talking about that.
Now we get what you're talking about. Yeah, now we get it.
But like,
if Philly was like, wait a minute, are you seriously coming in here?
Bro, it's about the mental health aspect of it that like he couldn't handle the pressure.
Like, that's why I'm saying, like, look, I'm not trying to be like Mr. Oldhead being like, oh, you just don't fucking understand, you know, or you're being too insensitive towards, you know, the younger generation, but like I don't know. I don't think the whole chant was that bad. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But like, I mean
I've seen worse. Okay, we've seen worse.
I would have a problem with it if Philly honored Crocodile Dundee at halftime in the first game that he came back. I would understand.
But you would be the only one. You would be the only one to be like, yo, what the hell? What are they doing right now? Yo, that's so fucking racist or whatever you would have said.
That is bullshit.
You would be like, yo, that's so insensitive right now. Like, you would be the only one that would have thought of it that way.
Do you guys not get the joke? Do you not get the joke?
if they have Steve Irwin's kids come out at halftime, you know?
No one would know who the fuck they were, dude. What are you talking about?
Australia
stopped before the TV. Those are Steve Irwin's kids, bro.
How come no one is mentioning this right now? Like, look, the fact that Kevin Durant, when he was asked a couple days ago, like, yo, did you give him some pointers? He was like, absolutely not. Like, he's got to deal with that shit. He's a big boy. Like, ain't nobody going to hold his hand going up in there. Like, he's got to deal with it. That's it.
If I was the reporter, Paul would have been like, you know, he doesn't like when people talk about him like that. You know
that. Yeah, but it's like, yo.
Wasn't he the one that complained about the doc didn't stand up for him? And they were like, oh, I'm like, yo, you don't stand up for somebody that doesn't deserve it, honestly, man. Like, you didn't deserve to be stood up for it.
Yeah. And like, not only
you
that,
got called
like,
out. What the fuck?
To be honest, he should have learned from, you know, Fanny too, the crocodile that.
All right. I'm about to cut off your mic real quick. I'm fed enough of you.
Had to get rid of Fanny, too.
Yo.
Fanny, too, just wasn't listening to the rules.
How many crocodile
Dundee moves have you fucking seen? I didn't even know there was even that many out.
Who are you even talking about, bro? Seriously, who's seen these movies?
All right. Real quick, before I move on to the next topic here. Danny Green was on the Ryan Rosello show recently talking about how when Simmons was still in Philly, the players would openly discuss, like, you know, which players the Sixers should trade them for. And I thought that was interesting. he just mentioned that, like it was something like that just normally happens. Like, oh, by the way, you know, fucking, you know, when this motherfucker was still here, like, we had, like, bets on who should get traded. Who should we come here for him, you know? Like, what the fuck?
Everyone's like, you know, one person was holding up a heart and be like, yo, Y'all owe me.
I know, right? Yo. The only one, guys. I was the only one that fucking said that.
But no, I said that shit
a year ago. Pay up, motherfucker.
That was definitely
it's probably Embiid.
He's like the top two choices were Kyrie and Dame.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I had Kyrie predicted a while ago, but you know, the person who had the James Harden card definitely was like either Drummond or Seth, who got added into the trade. And they're like, fuck, dude. I can't give him my $1,400.
This isn't how I envisioned it, bro. What the fuck?
I didn't think I'd have to go in for contract fodder. Jeez Louise, man.
I didn't want to be a filler here.
I thought I was part of the core.
That's not what I meant. What the fuck?
Yo, and Embiid's like, you didn't call the trade machine, bro. It's the only way it works out, man.
Yeah. only way that trade works is if we put
Seth Curry in the trade. Seth was like, "No, come on, Doc." Like, yeah. Know.
Yeah, you know,
like,
I didn't do the math, but
damn, what the fuck? Yeah, like, you know, first you trade your son, now you're signing a lot. Like, come on, man.
I don't give a fuck. I won a championship. All right, Joel, what else we missed, bro?
All right, in case you missed it, congrats to James Harden, who passed Reggie Miller for third place on the NBA's all-time three-point made list. He did that during the first quarter of the Nets Sixers blowout here. Harden now trails Ray Allen and, of course, Steph Curry, so... Good.
All right, so when he got up there quickly, huh?
Yeah, yeah. No one was talking about him until like maybe a couple of days ago. They're like, oh shit, he's only a few, you know, yeah, 3 pointers away from passing Reggie Miller. I was like, oh god damn, that was mad crazy.
It makes sense because of obviously the high volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. When do we stop talking about this?
So when he passes Ray Allen, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
No. When do we stop talking about all the people that are going to go up and pass all these old school 3-point shooters? You know what I mean? Like, literally.
The way the game's been changing? Yeah.
Like, yeah. Why do we...
Like, if Ray took as many threes as Harden, he'd still be the king.
Yeah, seriously. So it's like, and Reggie took threes more than anyone in his generation, which would literally put him at, like, the top 40 in the league of taking threes this year.
And Harden's actually having a down year, like, percentage-wise, because of, like, the new rule that he can't just throw himself into a player when he's trying to get fouled.
Yeah.
So he's had to adjust. So he probably would have passed that sooner. But anyways, he also passed Paul Pierce for ninth on the all-time free throws made list. So
good for him. Asshole.
Nice. That's what I was waiting for.
what a dick. No respect, bro. No respect. Unbelievable.
All right, and the congrats are also in order to the Phoenix Suns as they become the first team in the NBA to clinch a playoff berth after beating the Miami Heat 111-90 this week.
This could be it, man. This could be the year.
At 53-13, they have a 8.5 game lead over Memphis right now as we're recording this podcast out west. So out west is going to be determined, you know, two through ten in the next few weeks. Other than the Lakers, because the Lakers, they're playing like shit right now.
Is there any team in the West that can knock off Phoenix?
I don't know, man.
Denver.
Denver's the only team.
Yeah, but they're not healthy too, though. So it's like, you know, yeah, that was the same. That was the issue last season in the playoffs. Like Denver wasn't. They limped into that series.
Does that help
Jokic's chance to win MVP, by the way? I don't think it does. Well, does it?
Well, he's having a better year, like, you know, numbers-wise than he did last year. And, like, Denver, they've won, like, 16 out of their last, like, 20 games. So, again, it's like, what you're doing for me lately? And he's been doing this pretty much all season.
Especially shorthanded, too.
Exactly.
They're going to get Porter Jr. back soon, and then Jamal Murray should be back for the playoffs. So,
yeah, but, like, how reliable are they really going to be after being out for a year?
But
yeah,
I mean,
deal, Sean. What the fuck?
No, sub out. No, what are you talking about? Do you know the players playing around Jokic right now? You can not play Austin Rivers and you can play a 70% Jamal Murray. That's a big upgrade, bro.
Sorry, Austin.
Getting slashed again, Austin. Sorry, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. For some reason, shitting all over Austin this episode.
For real. And last but not least, in case you missed it, the Cavaliers All-Star Jared Allen is sidelined indefinitely with a broken left middle finger. That happened earlier
this week. There's no timetable
for his return, right? So guess who have they brought in the meantime on a 10-day contract? Sorry, Ducha and Celtics fans. Moses Brown is now a Cavalier.
Oh, jeez. Yo, what is their obsession with the Celtics leftovers, man? First is Taco. Now is this dude. What's going to be next? Was Luke Kornet going
to
be
I think I was about to just say that. I think he was in there like their G League like affiliate, and then he came up for a couple of games with the Cavaliers.
They love second unit Celtics bigs. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, so the seven foot two, you know, big man was waived by the Mavs about a month ago. So I guess depending on how he does here in these 10 days,
they're eyeing him for a while.
Yeah, and they'll know if Allen's going to be out for more than a few weeks.
The biggest thing about Moses Brown is his attitude, apparently. Apparently, he's not like the most positive guy.
Really?
Yeah, that was actually the knock on him coming out of UCLA and everything. So,
oh, shit.
I don't
maybe that's what the hell happened when he got traded like 5 times in 2 days.
He was, you mean positive, like, though? You think he was just like, I don't want to be here or some shit?
No, after OKC, he got a shot in OKC, he was balling out, and then all of a sudden they were like, yeah, we'll just trade you to the Celtics. And the Celtics were like, yeah, we'll just trade you to the Mavericks. And the Mavericks were like, well, you're not fucking playing here. You know, I don't know. I feel like eventually he'll find a spot and he'll play, because he showed he could play in the NBA. Just got to find the right spot.
Yeah. We shall see. Oh, I forgot to mention this, but the way things are shaping out in the East, you know, the Nets, even with this win over the Sixers, they're still in eighth. And right above them is the Toronto Raptors. And there's like a little bit of a gap between the seventh and sixth seed, right? So if the things stay the way they are, like if the Nets have to play the Raptors in the play-in, Kyrie can't go to Canada because of his vaccination status. And when they come back to play at home again in Brooklyn, he can't play there either. So, like, I think it'd be hilarious if the Nets don't even make the playoffs.
Sounds like
he's fucked. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Those teams that are in the play-in, they're all bunched together. So my point is, if they do play, have to play against the Raptors, like that's not ideal, because Kyrie won't be able to play any of those games against the Raptors.
I don't know. look up the play-in tournament. See how it works.
No matter how you slice it, I just feel like it's just going to be, if he's not pissed off already, Durant's going to be like, you ruined everything. He's going to be like, yeah, at the end of the day, like, we could have salvaged this thing.
Everything.
Yeah.
We could have salvaged this thing, and we just couldn't, because you just wouldn't freaking take the needle. Like, geez.
Not only that, like, it's like you want to play when you want to play. Like, essentially, mm-hmm. like, you know, he puts up a dud here in Boston, and then he goes for 50, and then everyone's like, oh my God, like, you know, imagine if he could play like all the games. And it's like, oh, that's the point of all of this. He plays when he wants to play. He doesn't want to play a full season. And the Nets, and you got to think about it now, that the Nets obviously felt like, yo, James could fucking, Harden can ask for a trade out of here before the trade deadline. So, like, let's bring Kyrie back, even though we're going to look like we got egg on our face, because we said that we didn't want him back if he was going to play just half the games. And because if we do lose him, you know, then depending on where he wants to go, it's like, we don't know what we're going to get back. So let's have, you know, Kyrie warm up a little bit and start playing. And now, you know, Simmons has been there for a month and he hasn't played. No one knows when he's going to fucking come back. So
yeah, to be
winning the championship, in my opinion, means so much more to Durant than it does to Kyrie.
Of course.
Durant, in my opinion, is chasing his legacy. Like, he wants to top. He wants to top LeBron, honestly. I think he wants to be, or at least in the same sentence or the same conversation when it's all said and done. And I think in his mind, the only way that happens is if he starts stacking up championships, you know, on his own terms. And this is not what he had in mind.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I think that Ben Simmons is a long-term move for Kevin Durant. And
well, it has to be, because he's got four more years left.
They're stuck with him.
No, I think
he doesn't want to play.
No, it's a long.
He ain't on his way.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about, like, he hopes it's going to help this year. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, if we can't make it work with being KD and Ben Simmons, then, like, Kyrie, you're out. Like, Kyrie's just gone. Like, he's going to be like, trade him.
Yeah. Like, what's that trademark looking like?
For real.
I want that.
The guy who just disappears from the team, nobody knows where he's at, and then he fucking complains about, like, oh, I can do whatever the fuck I want. Like, oh, okay.
Right. Yo, it wouldn't shock me if this dude just, like, decides he wants to, like, release a spoken word album and just, like, yo, I'm just going to take the next 2 months off. Like, no one wants to sign up for Kyrie, but you don't know what.
You don't know what you're going to sign. Exactly. You don't know what the hell you're signing up for. And that's why Harden never even was contemplating signing an extension there. He's like, no, what are you going to do with this dude? What's going to do? What's going to be with this guy? This is not what I fucking came here for.
Harden's like, yo, this is the Kanye West of the NBA. Like, I'm good. I'm all set. Like, it's unpredictable as fuck. Like, what the heck's going to happen next with this dude?
And I love it, because when Durant gets out there, he's like, I don't know. I'm just, you know, it's whatever.
You guys forget how desperate LA is to make something happen out there. And they would take Kyrie in a second.
A reunion with LeBron? You know what?
Are you insane? That would not happen.
That wouldn't shock me.
No, but if that trade goes down, then Kyrie goes AWOL.
That's the type of plot twist that the NBA would fucking pull off, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Kyrie's going to move to, like, you know, I don't know, to like Antarctica, and then he's gonna be like, oh, he ain't coming back. He's done with basketball.
No. I can see it right now. LeBron goes and gets him. And he drops the, you need me just as much as I need you. We win the championship, all is forgiven.
It got real poetic.
It got
real poetic real quick.
Some shit pulls it off where Kyrie's a Clipper, and then it's like the Battle of L.A., you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that can happen. There's a lot of teams that out there that haven't had the best go of it in the past three or four years.
The Lakers fucked up when they could have signed Kyle Lowry and DeRozan on cheap. You know,
yeah, they wanted
should have just traded for Buddy Hill and then keep that money. Right, exactly. Could have gone out and got at least one of those guys
for cheap money too.
Honestly, right. Bro, if they had signed Buddy Hield, they could have Ben Simmons on their team right now because I think Philly.
But they were never going to get Ben Simmons, man. They were just like, I'm good with that dude.
Oh, if they went in and signed Buddy Hield and maybe like. Because I think they were
traded for Ben Simmons' teammates were making bets as to who will get traded for. Fucking, you think LeBron James just like, I think I can change this guy. Like, you ain't got time for that shit, man. He wants guys that are already established and fucking head on straight.
LeBron
man.
Was like, I led the league in assists a couple of seasons ago. Like, we don't really need this dude.
You don't shoot.
Get the fuck out of here, then. You don't shoot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, LeBron wants to surround himself with shooters, man. For real.
I think you're underplaying the clutch sports aspect of everything and how they want all the clutch sports guys on the same team. And Ben Simmons.
No, you know what? That point alone, I think, is the biggest reason why they don't want him. They were like, if they did want him, it would happen already. Like,
yeah, that's true. Philly just held out until they got the best deal. They called his bluff. Like, oh, you ain't coming? All right, then you can just sit at home and get fined. Fuck off. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of.
All right. Are we good here?
Yeah, in case you missed it, check us out on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for your Celtics rumors, news, and opinions. And hit up patreon.com/causeway to subscribe and to enjoy some exclusive content, including season 2 of the After Show podcast and the 1-on-1 with Sway podcast.
Absolutely. And of course, just by subscribing, you also get the whole 40 episodes of season 1. So. Not a bad deal. And also, next week, we'll be picking out a name for our next jersey giveaway. So we'll get you all set and ready for the Celtics playoffs.
Yeah. So subscribe and you're automatically entered in the giveaway contest there. So
that's right.
Yeah. So congrats once again to KG for getting his number retired by the Celtics. You know, much deserved. It's going to be one hell of a weekend. I know that for sure.
Yo, make sure you tune into all of our social media platforms, including Snapchat. At Causeway Street, Joel will be in the building, so there'll be plenty of content.
Yeah,
he's also going to be in the house Friday night, too. Friday night's going to be an underrated, it's going to be a low-key night, because people are going to say, oh, they're playing the Pistons, and even though the Pistons have won against the Celtics this year, it's just a regular old game, but there's going to be a lot of Celtics legends in the house, okay? It's a big weekend. They're going to be commemorating the 75 years by honoring a group of Celtics legends. No names have been set in stone, but you can imagine there'll be some recognizable faces in there.
Hell yeah.
Does Larry Bird show his face at all in any Celtics retirement or anything?
If he didn't show his face.
Since Bird night, bro.
Yeah, if he didn't show his face at the All-Star game for the 75th celebration there, he ain't going to come to Boston.
But you know what, though? I give that dude a pass because Larry is just that's the way he is. But you know what I don't give a pass to? And this really kind of bothered me when you think about it. Scottie Pippen, bro.
Oh yeah,
like, yo, not for nothing, but dude, you go on and you say all this crap, you release this book, and then you don't have the sack to pull up to the 75th. Get out of here, bro. You're phony, man. That's phony. You don't want to have those uncomfortable conversations.
Exactly.
That's why.
Exactly.
That's why.
Yeah.
And now you understand why Michael always treated him as a number two. You know.
Right. It makes him look like exactly, Sean. You're right.
Petty.
It makes him be like. This is why he's always going to be number two. It's like, as he lights the cigar, this is why. And meanwhile, Jordan is rubbing elbows with the stars of today and guys like Dennis Rodman. Man, that was a special moment, too, man.
When he went with Rodman, he's like, yo, come party with me sometime, man. Come hang out, man.
Yes, yeah, man. Just seeing those two together and then Rodman taking pictures with, like, LeBron and them. Oh, love it, man. Yep. Love that shit. So, yeah, fuck Scott.
So fuck
and I almost bought his book. I almost ordered it. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't know. It's this whole like reaction to The Last Dance just rubbed me the wrong way. So many different reasons.
Yeah, man. When numbers get retired,
Larry Bird should be there. That's my thought. But I mean, I'm not gonna. I don't know. I just feel like if you're the best player in the modern history of a team, you should freaking be there when somebody's number get retired. But
you know what? I think he probably will make an appearance at some point before the season ends.
Sounds like if I was in charge,
because they're gonna do like a commemorating like 75 years of not just the NBA but the Boston Celtics franchise. Yeah, you're right. Maybe he does make an appearance, but we just don't know when.
He should.
But that's going to be Friday, Joel. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, work? Cool.
Yeah, they're commemorating 75 years of Celtics, I mentioned.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool.
Yeah, Joel.
With the legend already in town for the weekend, they were like, let's do it Friday, and then people chill, and then Sunday, boom.
Me and Papa Vogue could have a ball on Friday, bro, at the game. It's going to be awesome, bro.
Hey, man, you taking my ticket, bro? You stealing that shit? You going to break the news to me again?
No, man. Yo, I told Pops, I was like, yo, I go, Dad, you know it's going to be awkward. You got to take Joel. He was like, fine. But he did call Sean first, bro. He called Sean first.
He called me and I go, yo, you know, I know it's we could have pre-gamed. We could have drank like 50 Heinekens and like been all right, you know, but.
He's like, Sean was like, I would have made you drive, but you know. It would have been fun.
All right. And as always, Black Lives Matter. Stop Asian hate. Let's pray for peace in the Middle East and pray for the people of Ukraine. And until next time, guys, we are out.
Later, guys.
Later.